Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you this morning as we gather once again. Now, this is a special day, isn't it? Special day. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers that are out there listening. We hope you have a great day planned. I hope your children's going to cook for you today and not make you cook. Or if you had to cook, I hope they'll at least wash the dishes for you, right? But we hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day. I tell you, I'm very fortunate that I have my mother still alive. She's 87 years old and still her and dad's 89. They actually still able to live at home and by themselves, pretty much take care of themselves. So we've been fortunate with that. Of course, my wife's a mother, and I have a daughter that's a mother and two daughter-in-laws. So, you know, we got a big day to plan to celebrate motherhood today. We're actually at our church. Our brotherhood is actually preparing lunch for our mothers in our church, and so we're glad to be able to do that, and we're looking forward to having a big crowd of those to come out and celebrate with our mothers and eat with them. So we hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day, and so, of course, that's what we're going to be looking at this morning as mothers. And, of course, men, don't quit listening. It doesn't mean you men get a day off and that you don't have to listen today, because God's Word always has something for every one of us, myself included. So let's go to Him in prayer. And we'll get started. Father, what a great day it is, Lord, to come and to be able to celebrate and to honor our mothers, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for all the Christian women that are up and about and getting ready for church this morning, for all the Christian women who have raised their families right. And Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you for those older ladies that are such a great example to our younger ladies. And Lord, even your word tells them, that the older ladies are to teach the younger ones how to love their husbands and how to love their children. And so, Lord, we pray especially for those younger mothers today. Lord, we're living in some trying times. We're living in some hard times for our mothers and for motherhood. And so, Lord, I pray for all of our mothers this morning. And everyone that's listening, Lord, we pray for our shut-ins that you'll just restore them to their health. We pray for those that may be traveling today that are listening to us, maybe going to celebrate a Mother's Day with their mothers, Lord. We pray that you give them safe journey to and from, and then bless all that gather with us in your house this morning at West Macomb. So, Lord, speak through me now the words we need to hear. Cleanse me of my sin. Give me clean hands and a pure heart today, Lord, and nothing to stand between me and you as we share your word, and that, Lord, it will not return unto you void, that Jesus will always be uplifted, and that, Lord, that you'll always get the honor and the glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we do pray. Amen. So this morning, I want us to think about something that we see in so much in our news and so much that's happening in our nation today, and I don't know about you, but I am very frustrated with the way that motherhood is being degraded in our society today. This morning, I entitle this, Is It Birth Person or Mother? Now, who would have ever thought we would have to even pose that question? Is it birth person or mother? Which one is it? Now, I am, like I said, I'm beside myself. I'm just frustrated this morning to think about where motherhood has fallen to in our society today, in our leadership that we have today, who are leading our nation down a road that, brothers and sisters, they don't even know what a mother and a father is. I mean, when you don't know what a woman and you don't know what a man is, you don't know what a female is and a male is, then brothers and sisters, you need to go back to the farm and get around your farm animals and learn which one is a male and which one is a female if you don't know the difference. But when it comes to motherhood, how dares to come to a point and time that mothers don't want to be called mothers, fathers don't want to be called fathers, mothers want to be called, well, I'm a birth person. I'm a birth person. Well, you know, when you look up the word mother in the dictionary, you know what it defines it as? When you use it as a noun, the word mother means that what? That you have given birth. It's somebody who has, is that female parent is what it means. That you are the female parent is what the noun means mother. If you look up the word mother as a verb, which means to mothering, that you're mothering or that you're mothering him, it means that you have what? Given birth to. So either way, guess what? To be a mother, whether it's a noun or a verb, you have to be a female. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, there's no other way to put it. You have to be of the female gender to be a mother. Now, men, I mean, you left out there, brother. You're probably glad that you are when you see the pains and the agonies that mothers go through to have these children. I've heard it said a lot of times that if it was up to the men to have all the babies, that probably we would not be having any babies. The world would probably end after the next generation if it was up to men to have them. But I want you to understand this morning, there is no such thing as a birth person. There are mothers and there are fathers. And brothers and sisters, we need not to degrade that in any way. Being a mother is a high calling of the Lord. That if God blesses you with the ability to have a child, then brother, you know, we'll never experience it. But if God gives you the ability, women, to have a child, then it is a very honored thing that life could come from you. That Eve was called the mother of all living. Isn't that amazing? That all life came from Eve. And we look at that today, and then we see people wanting to say, well, I don't want to be called a mother. Just put me down as a birth person. And just call me a birth person. And that a man can be called a mother of a partnership. No, you can't be a mother. Only someone who is the female parent, only someone who can give birth can be a mother. So I want us to look at a mother. I want us to look and see then what a mother is and what a mother should be. Now, I would say today, you know, that probably 90% of the Mother's Day sermons are going to be from Proverbs chapter 31. I know after I've just started my 30th year, my 20th year, this is my 20th year to preach on mothers here at West Macomb Baptist Church, and my 47th year to be preaching on Mother's Day as a preacher. So, you know, there's only so few mother sermons and mothers within the Bible. I probably have covered every mother that is in the Bible. But you always come back to this Proverbs chapter 31, to where he says in that verse 10, who can find that virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Now, I use this a lot of time. I used it just a couple weeks ago in the funeral of a wonderful lady who was a mother, who was a preacher's wife. And I use these verses that I'm going to use this morning. But we're not going to look at all the things that it says that she does. I'm not going to bore you with that. You can go and read all the things that it says that she does. And listen to me. That's what a mother really does. And when you look at all those verses from verse 10 all the way down to verse 25, and you see all the things that a mother does, listen to me. A mother's work is never done. A mother's work is never done. And I'm here to tell you today that mother's work is one of the hardest work that I have. I know you women probably laugh sometimes when somebody says, well, do you work? Do you have a job? And if you're a stay-at-home mother, then you say, well, no, I don't have one. I'm just a housewife. And they look at you and say, oh, so you don't work. They don't understand what goes on in running a house, do they? They don't understand what goes on in being a mother. But you understand what's going on in being a mother. And so did the writer of Proverbs as he names all those things. But what I want us to look at today, as we think about motherhood, not degrading it, not calling it a birth person, but what it says about motherhood. So let's read beginning in verse 25, and then we'll read on down through the end of the chapter, verse 31. Proverbs 31, beginning with verse 25. He says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, when it describes this virtuous woman, we see that, going back to that verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is what? Far above rubies. So when you see it talking about this virtuous woman, we know that this woman is what? A mother. She is a mother. Now, how do we know that? It says right there in verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. So it talks to other places in these descriptions of what she does, how she takes care of her household and things. So we see that this lady, this virtuous woman, is a mother. She is a wife. And brother and sister, she is not some kind of old birth person. She is a true living Christian mother. Now, if there was ever a time that we need a true Christian loving living mother, brothers and sisters, it's today. It's today, right? We need good Christian mothers today. So what are they? What did it say here about her? So I want us to look at five things that we see in these verses 25 through 31 that I believe are so important that these seven verses hold for us. First of all, we want to see that she is clothed in honor. She is clothed in honor. Number two, she is clothed in strength. Now it says in strength and honor, but I wanted to put honor first, and then we'll talk about the strength. Number three, she speaks with what? Wisdom and kindness. And then number four, she controls the way of her household. In other words, brothers and sisters, she's running that household. And then lastly, number five, she deserves praise. She deserves praise, and she should get that praise. And we should give her that praise, not degrading it, not calling her some birth person, but calling her that dear mother that she is. So let's look, first of all, at she is clothed in honor. Going back to verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. You know, mothers are to be what? They are to be honored. Today we honor them in our church services. Today we honor them in our nation as Mother's Day, that we have set aside to take one day. Now listen, as much as these mothers do, every day we ought to honor them. Every day we ought to honor them for all that Christian mothers do. But we see that the honor that is to give a mother is something that God tells us that we're supposed to do. Matter of fact, if you go back all the way back to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, in the Ten Commandments, what did he say? Honor thy father and thy mother, that what? That your days may be long in the land, upon the land which the Lord God hath given thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, you know, so much in the Old Testament times, especially in biblical times, but especially in Old Testament times, we know the father was everything. I mean, when they had daughters, they very seldom even named the daughters. And when you see the genealogy mentioned of these fathers, is always who they begat as sons. And it always went down through the sons. But we find something different. Every now and then, they'll throw one of the daughters in, and you'll see a daughter mentioned, and we see even Jesus happening in his lineage. But really, it was the man that got all the honor and the praise back in those days. But when God gave us a commandment, what did he say? Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land of which God hath given thee. You know, brothers and sisters, I would probably say that motherhood is probably one of the most thankless jobs there is. All that she does for her family, and so many times she gets no respect. She gets no honor. She gets no praise. You know, brothers and sisters, it ought to be the greatest honor place in your house should be for your mother. You know, we as men, we act like, you know, we're the king of our castle, and we come in, and it used to be the wives would work in the field and take care of 10 or 12 kids and keep the yard swept and wash on a washboard and cook three meals a day. And you know, the husband, you know, he'd come in from the field and sit down, and then she had to feed everybody and then put the kids to sleep. You know, we act as if the men are to be the honorable, but listen to me. Mothers deserve honor today. Mothers deserve honor today for what they do and all that they do, and they should be honored. If we expect to live long up in the land that God has given us, he says, then honor your fathers, but honor your mothers as well. Honor them. Matter of fact, get over in the New Testament, what did he say? This is the first commandment with what? With promise. I mean, this is very important. Clothing your mother in honor is so important, because he says you will live long in the days of the land that God gave you. So if you want long life and be able to live happily in this America, then mothers need to be honored. Well, when we quit calling them mothers and we start calling them birth person, and we degrade motherhood, then no wonder our nation's in the shape that it's in. But a woman should be a woman of honor. Proverbs 11:16 says, a gracious woman retaineth honor. Did you hear that? A gracious woman retaineth honor. Now, we have degraded it. We have belittled it. We don't honor our mothers. We don't honor motherhood. And then we wonder why our homes are falling apart. We wonder why crime rate is out the roof amongst our young people. And we wonder why our nation is going to pot. Brothers and sisters, we need to give mothers their honor. Well, let's look at the second thing. It says that she is what? Clothed in strength. Strength and honor are her clothing. She is clothed in strength. Let me just ask you a question. Now, this is a little different, but just talking about a mother's strength. Have you ever watched a young mother in a grocery store? I watch them here at church a lot of time in the worship service, and when we stand to sing, and they'll have a child in their arms. They can stand there and hold a child in that arm I don't know how long. I mean, it amazes me. I see them at ball games. I see them in Walmart. They'll be carrying a child. They'll have that child on their arm, and they'll carry that child, and they can hold that child, it seems like, indefinitely. You know, I go try to hold one of my grandchildren, boy, you know, in about 15 minutes, I start getting tired, don't you? I always laughed and said, man, them women's got some strong biceps. They got some strong arms. They can tote that baby. They can hold that baby and hold him close for hours on end. Well, you know, it's not just talking about that kind of strength. It's not just talking about that strength, but they are women of strength. They are clothed with that honor, but they're clothed with not just that strength, but they're clothed with what? With a strength from above, that is that spiritual strength in which they have, that they are spiritual people, that they have that strong, I guess you could say, determination, and that they are strong in what they do. There's one story that always comes to mind to all of us, and it's the story of Esther. Esther was a strong woman. When you read about what happened to Esther, we know she's brought into the king's harem. She is chosen out to be queen, and Vashti is sent away. Esther's so beautiful and everything. And we know that what is happening is, it's a time when the Jewish people or Israelite people are being threatened by one of the leaders of the king, and he has in his mind to exterminate them. You know, Hitler wasn't the first one that wanted to exterminate the Israelite people. Y'all hear me? This guy here, he wanted to get rid of them. It's times and times through history. And God used a strong woman. Her name was Esther. And you remember her uncle Mordecai that had raised her. He tells her, he says, you have got to go to the king, and you have got to plead for our people, and you've got to stand in the gap now. And what did he tell her? He says, for a time such as this were you brought to this place. For a time such as this are you here, Esther. And what did she say? She says, well, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law for me to go to the king. I will go to the king, and I will go into his presence, and if I perish, I will perish. Think about that just a minute. See, she couldn't go and have a time with the king just anytime she wanted to. She couldn't just bust in into his chambers. You know, she had to be called before the king. If you wasn't called before the king could kill you, could have you beheaded. But Mordecai says, look, it's your time. Now is your time. Even though the king hadn't called you, even though, you know, it's against the law, you've got to stand up and do right. Brothers and sisters, we need some mothers like Esther. We need some mothers for such a time as this. Now, I've said it through the years, and I'll continue saying it. Abortion could have been stopped a long time ago if one group of people would have stopped it. One group of people in our United States of America could have stopped abortion before it ever got started. You know who it is? Mothers. Women. If you women would choose not to have abortions, it would end, all abortions would end tomorrow, today. If all the women in the world would say, we will not kill our unborn, then you have the power to stop it. Now is the time. We need you in times such as this. Our homes are falling apart. Our young people are going awry. Our communities are full of crime. And brothers and sisters, we need some women in a time such as this, full of strength. The strength of the Lord in them. We need them that will stand up for the Lord. And this is what kind of woman this is, a woman that fears the Lord. We need some strong Christian women like Esther who are willing to put their lives on the line to save a nation. Our nation will be saved. What's that old saying? The hand that does what? Rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. And you have power that nobody else has in this world today, and especially in these United States of America. We have seen through the years that you have blessed with equality. You've been given the right to vote. You've been given a voice to stand up. Why use it for evil? Use it for good. Stop abortion today for such a time as this. Well, let's look at the third thing. It says there in verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. In other words, she speaks with wisdom and kindness. She speaks with wisdom and kindness. What is one of the most soothing things to a child? If a child's upset, if a child's in a doctor's office fixing to get a shot and it gets upset, what is one of the most soothing things to a child? It's the voice of his mother. The voice of his mother, right? To see that mother calm that child down and to hold that child close and say, you know, it's going to be all right. And to hold that child's hand and to have that mother's presence there and to hear her speak with wisdom and to hear her speak with kindness. That voice of that mother is the most reassuring voice that a child can hear. You know, brothers and sisters, this is what we need. We need mothers today who are speaking out wisdom and kindness. Not mothers who are cursing their children and words of profanity run right after another about their child. I don't know about you, but it makes my hair stand up on the back of my head. When I'm out at a restaurant or I'm out in Walmart or out at a ball game and you hear some mother just go to cursing up a storm, a child, and just calling that child everything and just start slapping that child around. I mean, it blows my mind. Brothers and sisters, a mother's voice should be the most soothing thing it is to a child because she speaks with wisdom and because she speaks with kindness to that child. We wonder why our children are so cruel to one another. We wonder why they don't have a kind word for each other. We wonder why they can't get along with other kids at school, why they're always in trouble at school, why they're always causing trouble with their teacher. They don't have respect for the teachers. It's because, see, brothers and sisters, that's the way they're being treated at home. You don't know why they make bad decisions and why they don't make good decisions in life. It's because they've seen no wisdom from daddy or mama. Now, daddy, your day's coming in June, right? We'll have Father's Day. And you know, we're not off the hook here. It's not all the mama's, not mama's responsibility to be the wise one and to speak wisdom. But we see throughout the Bible, we see Dorcas and others throughout the Bible who were wise women who brought Jesus to their homes and who led their families into coming to know Jesus. That's the kind of wise women we need. Listen to what he says in 1 Peter 3:3-4. He says, and who's adoring? He's talking about a woman. It's talking about a husband loving his wife and a wife being submissive to her husband. And then this is what he says. He says, don't adorn yourself, who's adorned not with outward adorning, of plaiting your hair and the gold and the apparel. He says, but what? But the hidden man of the heart, not corruptible, even the ornament of what? Of meek and a quiet spirit, which the Spirit of God of grace is of a great price. So you hear what he's saying? He's saying, woman, don't be so concerned about adorning yourself with the plaiting of the hair. Don't be so concerned about, you know, putting on the gold rings on your fingers. Don't be so concerned about what kind of dress you have on and apparel that you have. But he said you should be worried about what's on your inward man. Are you a woman of wisdom? What's on the inside? Is it a what? One of a quiet spirit? One of a meek spirit? One that in the sight of God is a woman that fears him? He says a woman like that is a woman of what? Of great price. There you go. Peter's saying what the proverb says. A virtuous woman, who can find her? Her price is above rubies. Way above rubies. So this morning, what about you women? Are you clothed in honor? Are you clothed in strength? Are you speaking the wisdom and the kindness coming forth out of your mouth so that you can assure your family and you can lead them to the Lord because you have that meek and quiet spirit, which is a great price? Well, let's look at the fourth thing. It says not only that, but look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. So look at that. In other words, it says she controls her household. Now listen, there's been some great men throughout history who have ran in many great businesses and corporations and everything. But I'm going to tell you, a woman that is a godly woman that sees well to her household and takes care of her household and runs her household, brothers and sisters, she is so much more important than any CEO that or any president of any great corporation. Amen? I mean, it takes something to run a household, to keep the meals prepared, the clothes washed, the house clean, the kids' doctor's appointment, dentist appointments, eye appointments, to make sure they get the homework on time, to take care of some whining husband because he's not getting enough attention, and then to keep her own sanity. I mean, it takes some kind of woman to do that, doesn't it? It takes a godly woman, a woman who is clothed with honor and strength, a woman who's filled with wisdom and speaks forth wisdom, and a woman who is speaking forth kindness. This is a woman that looks to her household. It's not a job you can just sit down and be idle in. I mean, how many women, they get up before daylight and after everybody else has gone to bed, they still in there washing the dishes or cleaning up the kitchen or sweeping the floor. Isn't that amazing? I mean, to run a household, it takes something. Here it talks about her. You go back and read some of those verses in Proverbs. She's like a merchant ship. You read those things, and what did it say? You know, that she gets up in the middle of the night in verse 15 and has meat for her family. You know, she's working willingly with her hands, it says there in verse 11 at the spindle. She's not afraid of the snow in verse 21 because she knows she has taken care of her family. She's taken care of them. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6, it says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. In other words, a woman who's not taking care of her household, is just living for herself, then really she is dead and don't even know it while she's living. But a woman of God, what is it? She's clothed in honor, clothed in strength, speaks wisdom and kindness, controls the ways of her household. And then lastly, it says she deserves pleasure. Look at those last verses again. It says, what? Her children would arise and call her blessed. In other words, her children would call her blessed. They will praise her. Her husband's going to praise her in the street. It says over there in the beginning, it says what? He don't have to fear. He don't have to worry about her. He don't have to fear because she'll never do him wrong. She'll always do him what's right. And he'll be honored in the gate because his wife takes good care of him. He says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and what? Her works will praise her in the gates. Her works will praise her in the gate. Yes, it's the responsibility for her children to praise her and bless her and honor her. Yes, it's the responsibility for her husband to praise her, to honor her, to support her. Brothers and sisters, yes, the Lord will praise her because she fears him and she is a godly woman. But it says her works, most of all, will praise her in the gates. This morning, it's not a birth person. It's a mother. A mother. A mother. And God chose a woman to be the mother of his only begotten son that would become the Savior of the world. I think you women are pretty special, don't you? Men, don't you think? God chose that way, motherhood. I can assure you, Mary was not just a birth person. She was a virtuous woman chosen by God whose price was above rubies. And this morning, ladies, be the mother in a time such as this. We need you to be the mothers that we need in our nation as a time such as this. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all of our mothers. Thank you for these that have been listening this morning. And Lord, if there's a mother here that does not know you, if there's a mother here, Lord, that does not fear you, then Lord, I pray that they'll come to know you, because Lord, they can never be the virtuous woman that they need to be without knowing Jesus. So Lord, I pray that they'll come to know you. I pray that they'll lead their families in a way that they would come to know you. They'll be that example. I pray, Lord, if they have a husband who's not the spiritual leader, that they will be an example before him, that he'll become that spiritual leader. Thank you for your word, Lord. Speak to our hearts now, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.